When you argue with a fool, you're like a man trying to teach a fish how to climb a tree. You both end up frustrated, and the fish still swims away. But there's a far wiser way to deal with such madness. We live in a world overflowing with words. Everyone wants to be right. Everyone wants to win. Yet no one stops to ask, what exactly are we trying to win? For if you win an argument but lose your peace, you've gained nothing of real value. The fool, the true fool, is not simply someone ignorant or uninformed. No, ignorance is innocent. The fool is the one who believes he already knows. He clings to his beliefs like a drowning man clutching a piece of driftwood. And when you try to take it away, he'll fight you, not because he's evil, but because that piece of wood is his identity. So when you argue with him, you're not fighting over facts, you're fighting over his sense of self. And that, my friends, is a battle no one can win. Think of it this way. If you pour water into a cup that is already full, what happens? It spills over. No matter how pure the water, the cup cannot receive it. The mind of the fool is just like that, full, closed, and noisy. When you speak truth into such a mind, the truth simply spills out. So what should one do? How do we deal with the fool without becoming foolish ourselves? The secret lies not in confrontation, but in understanding. The wise man listens, observes, and sees through the madness, but he does not step into it. You see, arguing with a fool is like dancing with a storm. You may start with balance and intention, but soon the wind takes over. You begin to shout, defend, justify, and slowly you become swept into the same chaos you hope to avoid. This is why the sages of old, Lao Tzu, the Buddha, the mystics, always taught silence as the highest reply. Silence does not mean agreement. It means transcendence. It says, I see you, I understand you, but I do not need to fight you. Silence is not weakness, it is mastery. But silence alone is not enough. One must also know how to direct energy. When a fool attacks you with words, with mockery, with misunderstanding, it is tempting to strike back, to correct him, to prove your intelligence. But that is precisely how the fool traps you. He drags you into his level of vibration. And once you're there, you can't win because he has home advantage. He lives in that chaos. He feeds on reaction. The wise man, however, shifts the entire game. He does not react, he responds. And his response is often not words, but action. For example, if a fool calls you weak, you don't argue that you're strong. You simply live with quiet strength. If he mocks your peace, you do not preach about calmness. You remain calm. In this way, you mirror wisdom, not noise. The fool then finds nothing to hold on to because you have denied him the conflict he feeds on. And it's beautiful, really, because when you refuse to argue, you are no longer in the same play. You've stepped off the stage entirely, and the fool is left speaking to the empty air. The fool is not always out there. Sometimes the fool is within you. Yes, inside the mind that insists, I must be right. That voice that needs to win. That ego that burns when others misunderstand you. That, too, is a fool. To truly never argue with a fool, you must stop arguing with yourself. The moment you can let your own thoughts flow without judgment, the outer fools lose their power. For you cannot be disturbed by what you have already understood within yourself. In Zen, there's a saying, the tighter you hold the rope, the more the knot tightens. And that's exactly what happens in an argument. Both people pull harder, neither realizing that the only way to undo the knot is to let go. So the next time you feel the urge to correct someone, to make them see, to make them understand, pause. Take a breath. Ask yourself, am I speaking to enlighten or am I speaking to be seen? Because one comes from love and the other from fear. One leads to clarity, the other to endless debate. When you move through life this way, you begin to see the fools not as enemies, but as mirrors. They reflect the parts of you still attached, still reactive. Each foolish encounter becomes a gentle lesson, saying, this is where you still take things personally. And isn't that the true gift? To use every irritation as a mirror for awareness? Then, even the fool becomes your teacher. Not because he is wise, but because he reveals your remaining illusions. In this way, you no longer despise the fool. You thank him quietly and walk on. So, what do? Instead of arguing, you stay still, you stay clear, you practice presence, you act from understanding, not reaction. You embody the very wisdom the fool cannot yet see, because wisdom is not about changing others, it's about not letting others change you. The fool argues to prove something. The wise person listens to understand something. And the greatest understanding of all is this. The fool and the wise are not two separate beings, but two states of the same consciousness. And in knowing that, the argument ends. Life is not a debate hall, it's a dance. And in a dance, there is no right or wrong step, only rhythm. When you argue, you lose rhythm. When you listen, when you observe, you find yourself moving in harmony with what is. That's where wisdom lives, not in proving, not in persuading, but in perceiving. To deal with fools is to learn the art of dancing lightly, to smile where others shout, to see the absurdity of it all, and to laugh gently, for laughter is the sound of awakening. I don't mean mockery. True laughter is compassionate. It comes from seeing the cosmic joke that we are all pretending to know, while the universe itself is laughing through us. So when the fool argues, you might even thank him silently, for he shows you the comedy of human certainty. And perhaps that's what makes the wise man so calm. He's seen through the play. He knows that every fool believes himself to be wise, and every wise man knows himself to be a fool. The difference is awareness, not opinion. Fools often become louder. They sense the absence of your energy, and it unsettles them. They demand a response. They crave the heat of your attention. Do not give it to them, because attention is power, and you decide where to place it. Instead of feeding their chaos, feed your stillness. That is your greatest strength. The fool cannot understand stillness, for his world thrives on reaction. But your silence, your refusal to play his game, becomes a mirror so clear that it unsettles his illusion. It's like standing by a pond. Throw a stone, and the ripples disturb the reflection. But let the water rest, and soon it reflects everything perfectly. The trees, the sky, even the clouds drifting above, so too with your mind. When you stop throwing stones of argument and defense, your mind becomes still enough to reflect truth itself. And in that stillness, understanding blooms naturally. You no longer need to convince anyone. For truth, like light, does not argue with the dark. It simply shines, and by its very presence, reveals. People often ask me, Alan, but what if the fool is harming others? Shouldn't we speak up? Of course. Silence is not passivity. You can act without anger. You can correct without contempt. The key is to respond from clarity, not ego. If you see a man spreading poison, you don't wrestle him in the mud. You take away the poison and you wash your hands clean. That's what true action looks like. It's effective because it's not personal. It's simply the natural movement of awareness, precise, compassionate, and free of the need to win. They say, Alan, how do we deal with people who refuse to understand, the politicians, the parents, the skeptics? And I always tell them, Stop trying to make people understand. Instead, be the understanding. You cannot open a closed fist by force, but warmth, patience, and love can make it open by itself. That's the paradox of wisdom. What you resist persists, but what you allow transforms. To never argue with a fool is to trust that time and truth do the teaching. You don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. Not every comment deserves your reply. Not every noise deserves your music. And yet, you can always remain kind, because kindness is not agreement, it's grace. When you meet a fool with grace, you are not feeding his delusion. You're demonstrating another way of being. You're showing him, without words, that there is a peace beyond his chaos. Sometimes, that silent example plants a seed far deeper than any argument could ever reach. The world does not need more clever talkers. It needs silent watchers. It needs people who can stand in the storm and not lose their center. Because the more you argue, the more you become entangled in the world's drama, and the world loves to pull you in. But when you learn to stand still, truly still, you become like a mountain. The winds howl, but they cannot move you. The rain falls, but it only nourishes your roots. The fool comes and goes, and yet your peace remains untouched. Sometimes, the wisest response to a fool is simply to agree, not because he's right, but because you have no interest in proving him wrong. You nod, you smile, and you let him have the last word. And in that small act, you win the only game that matters, the game of inner freedom. For the wise do not measure victory by domination, but by detachment. They are free because they have nothing to defend. Their truth is not a possession, it's a presence. And this presence, once felt, begins to change everything around you. You no longer attract endless arguments because you no longer vibrate at that frequency. Fools sense that you cannot be baited, and they move on to find another target. This is not arrogance. It's simply evolution. Consciousness rises by refusing to descend into reaction. So when you choose peace over conflict, silence over shouting, awareness over ego, you are not avoiding the world. You are transforming it from the inside out. Next time you encounter the fool, the one who mocks, provokes, misunderstands, see him not as your opponent, but as your test. He's the fire that reveals how still your inner water truly is. And if you find yourself stirred, reactive, angry, good, that's your mirror. That's the universe saying, ah, you still have something to see. Because every fool on your path is really an invitation to deepen your own awareness. And that, perhaps, is their greatest gift to you. In the end, all arguments are echoes of fear. The fool argues to protect his illusion. The wise remain silent because they no longer need illusion. The fool clings to belief. The wise rest in being. So the next time you feel drawn into a quarrel, remember, the urge to argue is simply the ego begging for attention. Smile at it. Breathe. Let it pass. For the truth needs no defender. It stands timeless, untouched by noise. It does not shout, because it has already won. And if ever you doubt this path, just look at nature. The ocean never argues with the storm. It absorbs it. The tree never argues with the wind. It bends. And yet, both endure, both thrive. Wisdom is like that. Soft enough to flow, strong enough to remain. When you live this way, the fools of the world cease to bother you. You see them as children playing with sticks, making noise in the playground of existence. You smile, you wish them well, and you keep walking quietly, freely, joyfully. So never argue with a fool. The greatest wisdom is not to silence the fool, but to awaken the fool within yourself. For when you no longer need to be right, you become free. And that, my friend, is the beginning of true intelligence. the intelligence of silence, awareness, and love.